This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. I'm angry at Brett right now. Angry at Brett. So tomorrow I'm going to be taking off a week here. I'm going to have hip surgery done, and Brett and we got a whole crew that's going to be filling in for me, right?
Indeed, we do. Yep.
All right. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I recorded an ad, I had to record a commercial here because it is a radio station. I recorded a commercial, and as Brett says, the last commercial you're ever going to record for us. Just, Brett, stop. I'll be back, man. I'm going to get through this. Yes, it is the Home Depot Surgical Center. But at the same time, I am, go team go.
Dr. Nick said you'd be just fine after he's done with you.
Yeah, I got so many things collapsing on me right now. I all right. I should be fine. Hopefully the hip will feel a lot better. I'm looking forward to it feeling a lot better. That's for sure. But thanks to everyone that's going to be filling in for me. I do appreciate it. 952-946-6205. For our last show before we take the break here, Sven Sundgaard coming in at 5:30 or so. Talk some of the weather there. He's got a story about loons that is kind of hard to kind of comprehend that this happened.
And not right wingers, right? Actual loons. All right.
Yes. Because we're now very politically incorrect here at the station. Let's talk about the loons. No, it's the birds.
Okay, yes. All right.
The common loon. The delightful little creatures. I'm always amazed that the moms can dive with the babes on the back. That's pretty wild stuff, man.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Someone is a listener. We have often talked about Representative Skintag, a.k.a. Eric Mortensen, who is the representative out of Shakopee. This is a guy that it seems like he has won his seat due to a mysterious third party candidate who seemed to just draw enough away from Brad Tabke. And this guy is out there.
I wouldn't say it seems to have won his seat that way. No, he clearly did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he is one of the GOPers that's going to show up at this Stand for Liberty event on May 1st. This is down in Albert Lea. This is that woman with the interchange. And in case we've talked about this a few times, because I'm fascinated about what's going to happen here on Saturday. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to be checking out the news updates on this because I don't think this is going to go too well. Because in case you missed it, the woman that he is going down to support, the owner of the interchange, she is wanted. She's a wanted fugitive. She is. She didn't show up for a court hearing, so they put out a warrant for her arrest. She's been evading arrest ever since, and it sure looks like she's going to show up at this park. I don't know if this is part of your fugitive role, but I think they're going to get you. Needless to say, there's a decent chance the sheriff could show up and arrest her for basically, violating with the warrant. So, I mean, it's a bad thing. And this is she runs the interchange. And if you go look at the interchange today, there's a story about, I guess it's Vail, Colorado, how the townsfolk in Vail stormed the school board meeting, chased off all the school board members, elected new school board members, and then got rid of the mask mandate. And she's talking about, isn't this great freedom? Oh, yeah. The, Frankenstein's monster way of political success. I don't know if mob rule is really something we should be praising, but it kind of gives you the idea of where she's at this point, I think. So putting that into play, would I be surprised at all if she gets out to this event? And she ends up, as the police are closing in, saying, "Protect me! Protect me! Freedom! Liberty!" And I'm sorry, I could honestly see people, you know, her supporters basically out there maybe pulling guns on the sheriff or a state patrol, whoever the person is that's coming out there. I mean, it's a really, you know, it's a really scary concept, but this is kind of where things are at. Now, I would say, and I think I've been very clear about this, I don't think this is a good idea, and this, primarily for Dr. Scott Jensen. This is the former senator who represented the West Lake Minnetonka area, who is trying to run for governor. And he's, you know, obviously he's doing the standard Republican dance, which is become as far right wing psycho as you can to win the primary and then act like none of that happened. What do you mean I was at an event that was a fundraiser for a wanted fugitive? And I've told him, I said, you know, this is there's a billion ways this could go wrong, and you don't want to be down there. But one of the other people that's going to be there is Representative Mortensen. And Mortensen, he apparently heard our show. Thanks for listening. Or I'm presuming, or someone else's show.
I think he's a big fan of the show.
Is he? Oh, I can see him hate listening to us. I can see that.
I would venture to guess there's more than one Republican member of the legislature that probably does hate listen us. I don't know who they are, but I'm guessing there's at least
Mary Franson. go with that. I think Drazkowski. I would think I'd make a good call. Gazelka is probably listening.
How about Kiffmeyer?
I don't think she is. I think she might tune in occasionally. But, you know, I could see Mortensen hate listening to us. So this is the social media post he made yesterday. The media and statists are throwing a hissy fit about this event on May 1st. They seem to think they can intimidate or scare us away from supporting the businesses and their employees who had their livelihoods destroyed by unjust and unconstitutional executive orders. But that's not going to happen. Okay. As I said, I think you're missing the point. Well, first of all, let me just point out, this woman got a state loan. What was it? One of the business loans, and immediately took that money and bought food for an anti-walls party. Not to pay her employees. She was trying to have a big party, and they shut that down, and I have no idea what ended up having all the food. But, you know, this is not someone who has been respectful. And once again, there are laws and rules, and what Governor Walz did is completely illegal to try to save the state from a pandemic outbreak. But I tweeted back, and she's a wanted fugitive. And I ask, are you bringing a gun? Is Mortensen going to bring a gun to this event? If the sheriff comes to arrest her, will you allow them, or will you go 1-6 on them under some weird freedom argument? Because your argument, your entire thing here is, once again, they seem to think they can intimidate or scare me away from supporting the businesses and their employees who've had their livelihoods destroyed by unjust and unconstitutional executive orders. That's not going to happen. Well, wouldn't then the sheriff coming to arrest Lisa Hansen at this event, wouldn't that be an extension of the governor? So if you truly do think what's happening to her is unjust, it's not too much of a reach for someone to say, are you going to pull a gun if you have a gun? Are you going to try to wrestle the police away? Are you going to try to help Lisa get away if they try to arrest her? What's going to happen? And my guess is more, of course I'm not going to get in the way of fine law enforcement. But then you're a hack. I mean, isn't that the truth? I mean, if you basically don't try to stop this, isn't all your talk about liberty and freedom, isn't that all kind of just an act? I mean, you see, you painted yourself into a corner here, Representative. I mean, I don't know if you've been aware of this. But fine. No, go. Seriously, dude, go. And it will, if I hope, you want to know the truth is, I hope nothing bad happens. Honestly, I hope nothing bad happens. My guess would be for nothing bad to happen, Lisa doesn't show up. Or maybe tries to do some sort of video that they're going to play because she's on the run. And everyone's down there, and it's there for about, you know, there's a few dozen people out there shouting about, Walz is a commie, Walz is a dictator, and they all go home. Great. Doesn't help Dr. Jensen on his governor's run, because that's going to come back to haunt you. But still, you want to go down and for a wanted fugitive? I'd be wondering if would they feel the same way if Lisa Hansen was black? I wonder. Anyway, the reality is that this could go bad, and it could go bad quickly. And it's not because of you, Representative Mortensen, or of Dr. Jensen, or the Senator Mark Corrin, who's also going to be there. It's not because of you. It depends on the rationality of the crowd. And if these people, and this, you know, this is a group that has riled up their masses to look for enemies. They are looking for villains. They are looking for bad people. They are looking to turn themselves into the victims. And if all of a sudden a sheriff's deputy shows up, can you guarantee anyone in the crowd? You're at a park. There's not going to be any kind of, you know, gun check there. And even if there was, they'd probably give you a second one. If someone pulls a gun, I mean, that could go wrong. Horribly wrong. And I mean, it'll be interesting to hear what your press release afterwards is. I never thought things like this would deteriorate. And while I'm still very upset about Governor Walz, and this is really his fault, I don't condone what exactly happened. And God forbid a sheriff's deputy gets shot. You know, you want to go to this? Fine. You know, Lisa Hansen could have probably turned herself into authorities a week ago, been put on release, and showed up at this, and that wouldn't be a deal. But because the fact that she is determined to, you know, she's like those sovereign citizen people, they try to make up the rules as they go, and they're kind of under this argument that the sheriff's deputies of America are somehow the most high point of any law enforcement, you know, that there's no law in the land that overrides a sheriff's deputy. We ran into this with Robin Cole up the Pine County Sheriff. Robin Cole, the Pine County Sheriff, pew, 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 when he said, I ain't going to follow any gun rules from that Barack Obama, pew, 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 because I'm Robin Cole, the Pine County Sheriff, pew, pew, pew. Never gets old. Never gets old. Haven't done that one in about 6 years. But, you know, yeah, I hope this is a dud of an event. But if you're under the mindset that it's going to be like It's a Wonderful Life, and the sheriff's deputy is going to come on up at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, and he's going to rip up the warrant for Lisa Hansen and put it in the donation bucket, and they all kind of start singing Kumbaya together, I don't think that's going to happen. Especially after Lisa Hansen threw the county sheriff under the bus quite a bit. So, you know, good luck. No, go. By all means, please, go. If I were you, I would send someone from your office to speak on your behalf. Or I would make sure you have a car that's parked in backwards that you can get out of there as quickly as you can, in case things go bad, because you don't want to be there if things go bad. But, you know, knock yourself out. And thanks for listening, Eric Mortensen. Seriously, thank you. Skin tag. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I got good news. I am COVID free. I got tested yesterday. They have to test you before you have any kind of surgery. So them removing every nose hair I have on both sides, man, it was worth it.
Oh, you had one of those kinds of tests. Ooh, that's fun.
Spin around. Yeah. Got tears rolling down my cheeks. Like I'm Steve Martin in Crazy Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Thank you. Hey, I appreciate nurses. You're doing God's work. Thank you very much, nurses, doctors, and teachers. Let's make sure we get them all in there. Speaking of which, let's do the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. State of health officials urged eligible Minnesota teenagers to seek COVID-19 vaccine. Now that supplies are plentiful and infections are continuing to spread in high school age populations. The last weekly COVID-19 activity report released on Thursday by the Minnesota Department of Health showed more than 1,000 diagnosed infections among pre-K-12 students in each of the last 2 weeks. This substantially eclipsed the number of student infections detected during the severe pandemic wave last year. As a matter of fact, interesting, my daughter today had a conference at her school, and we had talking to the teacher over Zoom. Because of my test and my surgery, I would decide just to do it better safe than sorry. And we're talking, and you know, my daughter, who is soon to turn 14 here, she says, you know, my biggest hope is that I can finish out the school year in the school. I'm not too convinced it's going to happen, but I'm hoping it is. It tells you that these kids are paying attention to this stuff. The state on Thursday also announced another 15 COVID-19 deaths, 1,921 infections with the coronavirus, raising Minnesota's pandemic totals to 7,128 deaths, 573,938 known infections. Governor Walz on Wednesday said teens are an important part of Minnesota's goal to reach the COVID-19 vaccination rate of 80%, which health officials believe will stifle the spread of the virus. We get to herd immunity when we get a need to protect as many people as possible. That includes teens. I would say this. If you have a kid who is involved in any activity, sports, band, anything like that, anything that they're still, you know, doing, that's almost a must. That's almost a must. Get them vaccinated. I mean, you got a kid playing with baseball, is it lacrosse? Is it lacrosse season right now?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Lacrosse or any softball, any of the spring, summer sports, get them vaccinated. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, seriously. And I know I've enjoyed Jeff Bezos controlling my body at times. It has been a delight. I did the hula yesterday. It was nice.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Jeff Bezos. No, you're not controlled by anyone. You're not. Get vaccinated, though. The push includes a special offer of Pfizer vaccine, the only one available to people 16 and 17, to eligible teenagers by appointment this weekend at the Mall of America. And I got to bring this up here. Mall of America will prioritize 16 and 17-year-olds this week in an effort to lower cases among young people. The governor's office announced Mall of America vaccination will participate in Roll Up Your Sleeves Teens Week, which started Tuesday, will go through Saturday. Okay, you guys still have to work on the names. Roll Up Your Sleeves Teens. Hey, hip cats. Who's okay, if you hired me, come get poked over at the Mall of America.
Come get jiggy with us and get your roll up your sleeves.
Jiggy with it, no. You come get.
Trying to think of it.
You make a T-shirt. You'll have a line out the door. I got poked at the Mall of America. 16 and 17-year-olds in the city. We would have them driving in from Wisconsin to get that shirt.
Yeah.
It would. I got poked at the Mall of America.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Thank you. Someone though. Hey. I don't need to do the dad jokes, you can see, but you know, you need to work on your salesmanship. Although I got to give Mall of America credit. Nice job. You guys, hey, I've had problems with the Mall of America and the free speech stuff, right? When it comes to Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. I also have a big problem with the tax rebates they're getting, stuff like that. You can't argue that place has been just, they know how to run that place. Hey, how about we do a vaccination clinic for 16 and 17-year-olds in the mall? Bravo. No, seriously. That's well done. Mall of America, you show how smart you are once again. It's not a bad call. I got poked at the Mall of America.
It would maybe increase the rates, which is what we need. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I got poked at the mall.
I get poked at the Mall of America. You do that T-shirt, guess what? You're going to have I don't know if you can make it free, but what's the, you could probably get it down to like $3. You get a $3 T-shirt, and just, at cost if you go and get there. And, oh, man, you thought Homer Hankey's were collector's items. You thought Homer Hankey was a collector's item. In 20 years, you'll be sitting in front of a framed "I got poked at the Mall of America" T-shirt. Not a bad idea. You want to get the people vaccinated. You got to, you know, sometimes, especially you want to get the 16 and 17 year olds in there. You know, having Tim Walz do a TikTok video ain't going to cut it. Okay, I'm just going to let you know. Hey, I'm doing a dance. Let me point at random words. No, no, no. Don't do that. Get off Discord. Don't go on Discord. I'm smart enough not to get on Discord. Don't get on Discord. I don't know. Maybe I could do something on my OnlyFans site. I've got some new images coming up this weekend. And so maybe I can, you know, have some special offers there for vaccine. But hey, that's just me. No, I don't have an OnlyFans site. I don't.
Not under Matt McNeil's name. No. Could be Mark McNeil.
No, sexy Sasquatch. Look for it. No, don't. Because I guarantee you there's something like that on there. And I don't want you going in and looking at that. Don't. That's not me. I am the only sexy Sasquatch. Minnesota on Thursday reported more than 2.5 million people had received some COVID-19 vaccine, amounting to 57% of the state's eligible population. When that more than 1.8 million people have completed the one or two dose series, nearly 87% of senior citizens have received some vaccine, a key target group that now has suffered 89% of the state's deaths. State health officials believe vaccination progress of the group explains why COVID-19 deaths have not increased over the past month at the same rates as infections and hospitalizations. I mean, it makes sense. It does. Key indicators continue to suggest the latest pandemic wave is easing. The seven-day average positivity rate of diagnostic testing in Minnesota has declined from 7.5 on April 8th to 6.4. Pressure. And now, once again, and that's good, but we've got to remind you, on March 1st, wasn't it 3.5? So it went up 4 percentage points in 1 month and is now just down, you know, 1.1%. So pressure in the hospitals has lessened as well. The number of COVID-19 cases in Minnesota hospital inpatient beds has increased from 210 on March 6th to 699 on April 17th, but has since declined to 644. Still, though, once again, a lot higher than it was. And we have seen an increase in fatalities in regards to people 50s, 40s, 30s. We even had that one young child that passed away, God forbid. You know, you got to be careful out there. So, you know, I'm going to take some time off here. I want to make sure everyone hears me, please. I'm not saying this because I'm from one side or the other side. I want every freaking one of you to live, even the Republicans that are hate listening to us. I want you to live. I want you to be alive. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you having long-term health conditions, health problems with this. I don't want you having to pay a ton of money because you have to go to the hospital. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Socially distance. Be smart, okay? Just be smart. And we continue to be smart for a few more months. Guess what? We'll be to the end of this, and that will be good. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, if you're wondering, Brett, why every one of your Green Bay Packer friends is crying right now or upset. Well, I don't know if they're crying yet, but they're concerned.
Oh, they will be.
This is like the tap going dry at a bar, you know. There's a lot of concerned faces going around the crowd over there. Aaron Rodgers has said he is disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers. He has told someone within the organization he does not want to return to the team. League and team sources told ESPN on Thursday. I want to give a credit to Paul Allen, probably the best football play-by-play guy I've ever heard in my life. Paul Allen, who's I think broke this story, he said apparently San Francisco, the 49ers have offered. I don't know if that's confirmed or not, but there was reports that they had offered a ton because the draft's coming up here, and so if they're going to move him, you want to maximize with the draft, you kind of do it now. Do you think this has anything to do with, you know, remember when LeBron went to LA? I mean, a lot of that was because he was trying to do movie deals. You know, get producing of movies, TV, stuff like that. He wanted to get into the industry, and that's one of the things that the perks he had. Rodgers just had for what, I mean, I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, But he is he got pretty good reviews when he filled in on Jeopardy as the guest host. Do you think maybe he wants just to get closer to L.A. so he can be part of that?
It's not a bad idea when you're that big of an athlete. The amount of money you can make outside of playing sports. I mean, Tony Romo's making how much money broadcasting games on CBS? LeBron's in movies. Yeah,
Fran Tarkenton.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Was it That's Incredible? That Fran Tarkenton was on That's Incredible for years. Boy, that was a hard one to digest. But yeah, it was. And I like you, Fran. But gosh, you know. That was harder than watching Killebrew in Kansas City Blue.
Wait. Killebrew was in a movie?
No, Killebrew was in Kansas City. They traded him. He went to Kansas City last year.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He was in KC Blue. No, but I mean, I could take Killebrew in the Kansas City Blue faster than Fran Tarkenton on That's Incredible. Oh, that was not good. But you see, I mean, you know, that's what happens is you go out there and then you become a celebrity. You do a lot of the stars. I mean, for goodness sakes, I think Peyton Manning, I mean, how many ads is that guy doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's got a big presence and, you know, that's where do you go? Do you think he's staying in Indianapolis? He has a house out there probably, but he's probably spending most of his time in the L.A. area because he's, you know, he's got to sell his brand. And Rodgers is not an idiot. And I mean, he is not. He wants to, if he wants to sell his brand, I mean, he's been dating celebrities. He's now hosting Jeopardy. And he did a good job. I will say that. He did a good job. It'll be interesting to see. Oh, gosh, if that does. I mean, so how bad will the Packers be without him?
Yeah, that would be rough with that rookie they drafted. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to find another quarterback. They've been lucky.
Oh, good times. Good
times. But you're saying, though, Aaron Rodgers probably not coming to the Twin Cities flying in via helicopter.
No, he's not going to do a Favre. There's no way. He hates the Vikings. When they broke his collarbone, I mean, that was a clean hit. He thought that was personal. And you remember at the end of the game last year when they beat them last year? How Rodgers was mad. He does not like the Vikings. He's not coming here.
No.
San Francisco, it's closer to L.A. I mean, who do they have? We're not a sports station. I'm not going to go into this too much more. But needless to say, I think that if you're wondering why all your Green Bay Packer fans are weeping, realizing that all of a sudden – the product is not, I mean, they've had a nice run. Brett Favre goes to Aaron Rodgers. You know, there's been a few times in history you've had a all-star quarterback replaced by another all-star quarterback, Joe Montana, Steve Young. That, I mean, it does happen, but I don't think it's going to happen again.
I love that. If for a few years they became the Timberwolves of the NFL.
They like to forget back in the 80s, there was a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what they were back
they
in the
were,
80s.
There was, in the 80s, there were a lot of people dressed as seats in that stadium. 952-946-6205. Okay, on the sporting level here, fishing opener is coming up here on May 13th to 15th. Deputy Otter Tail County Administrator Nick Leonard said he's fielded several phone calls from residents asking why Otter Tail County is hosting the 2021 Governor's Fishing Opener. In the 2018 gubernatorial election, Otter Tail County went solidly for the Republican candidate. Governor Walz is a Democrat. Walz has been criticized in parts of the county for his pandemic-related mandates. I had news for you. He's been criticized in Hennepin County, too. So it's not like, you know, any candidate's going to be loved everywhere they go. Leonard told Otter Tail County commissioners on Tuesday that the annual fishing opener is an economic event, not a political one. The Otter Tail Lakes County Country Association, which represents more than 200 local businesses, applied to have the event here and will provide great exposure for the county, he said. It was supposed to take place in Otter Tail County in 2020, but was canceled because of the pandemic. The association board discussed the event, he said, and decided that turning it down would be inappropriate given the hundreds of thousands of dollars it would provide to hard-hit hotels and restaurants with more than $1 million in media exposure. So wait a minute here. You are actually floating the idea of telling the governor, do not bring your governor's fishing opener to Otter Tail County because you don't like him politically. So, you know, when I hear these conservatives say, why is this country so divided? Oh, Governor Walz should not be allowed to come into our county and fish. And can I make this point? All right. I think it's nice Governor Walz is going to go out there. There is no way in hell I'm going to Otter Tail County for any goddamn thing. If I've got to go out there and I've got to wonder if whether or not they find out I'm a progressive, and that means I'm not going to get, are they going to spit in my drink or not give me my hash browns at the diner? Come on. I mean, this is just stupid. And if you guys don't want it, I can guarantee you there's a lot of places, including beet red places, that have lakes that would welcome in the governor's fishing opener. But you guys want to be stupid. I mean, well, you already have been stupid by the fact that you're saying Democrats aren't welcome in our area. You guys need to get out. Okay, fine. Everyone hear that? Otter Tail County does not want us to come fishing there. Well, it's... You are not going... Okay, whenever I hear people bring up the argument that you know, we are so divided, it's to a point a little like when I rail against the signs you see on the street that say drive like your kids live here. Drive like your kids live here.
Every time I see those signs, I just want to grind my teeth.
And the reason why is because no one who lives there drives like their kids live anywhere else. Yep. No, it's just a look at me. You need to be careful in my neighborhood and the heck with your neighborhood. And I'm not a big fan of that. I think you want to drive safe? Drive safe in every freaking neighborhood. How about that concept? But this is what it's like. I mean, I think what a lot of people are saying is that after 12 years, the minute that Barack Obama became the president of the United States, you on the right went nuts. And you have been screaming, you've been yelling, you've been saying all these things. And now, 13 years later, yeah, you got a pretty good sized divide here because you have people in Otter Tail County that when we want to even just bring the fishing opener out there, say you got to go through a political litmus test to go out there and fish. So the next time you look at me and ask, why are we so divided? I don't know. Why did you hate the black president? Because that's where all this started. That's when all of a sudden everything became, you know, them versus us. You know, and seriously, how stupid are you? They're going to bring the fishing opener to your county. And we don't want it. We don't want it because the governor is a Democrat. Get out, Democrats. Okay, fine. We don't need to go visit your businesses. Terry is in Columbia Heights. He wanted to chime in on Aaron Rodgers. All right. Welcome in, Terry.
Hi, Matt. Say, first of all, I want to say good luck with your surgery.
Thank you, sir.
Okay?
Appreciate it.
And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but everybody's praying for you as a fast recovery.
Thank you, sir. That's very nice of you.
I just wanted to say about Aaron Rodgers. Now, take this as you may, but I was on Facebook the other day, and on one of those, it was looked like a official thing, whether it is or not, I don't know. But it said that he had been offered the a permanent host of Jeopardy. It didn't say he accepted it, but it said he'd been offered it.
Hmm.
So what you said about him, you know, being dissatisfied with Green Bay and might want to go out there, I think it's absolutely, you're right on the money.
I heard it was between him and LeVar Burton. That's the one. One of those two, I think, is going to be the eventual host here.
Yeah, this particular, and like I say, I know it's on Facebook and stuff like that, but it said that he had been offered the position. So, and I personally, I hope he takes it because, you know, Green Bay's been at the top too long. Sorry, Brett.
Terry, thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, I mean, it's a natural, I mean, the superstars do this. The superstars, and Aaron Rodgers is a superstar. It's kind of odd. If you want to know the truth, I was a little surprised that Brady went to Tampa. Because if you're Tom Brady, you got two teams in L.A. now. And you could easily have gone out there and been on one of those two teams and been the savior in Los Angeles. And trust me, that's movie roles for the next 30 years. And so, he wanted to go to Tampa because apparently he likes stripper glitter. 952-946-6205. Have you been to Tampa? Oh, God. It's not a... It's yeah. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A Moorhead man accused of spray painting racially derogatory remarks and vulgarities on Moorhead Mosque over the weekend said he did it to get a reaction, according to charges filed on Thursday. Benjamin Enderl, 22, was charged in Clay County District Court with felony second-degree property damage, gross misdemeanor, bias harassment. Enderl remains jailed and was due in court on Thursday morning. One day after the vandalism was spotted by the Moorhead Fargo Islamic Community Center, hundreds of community members showed up on Monday with brushes, chemicals, and power washers, quickly cleaned off the messages, which included death to Islam, a swastika, and a racial slur and other offensive graffiti. A window had also been broken. And by the way, very nice of everyone up there to go up there and rally around the mosque there. According to the criminal complaint, the mosque's video surveillance recorded images of the suspect on the property shortly after 11:30 p.m. on Saturday. Still images from the video released to the public proved critical in finding Enderl. A representative of Walmart in nearby Dilworth told police that they had video footage of someone buying red spray paint late on Saturday morning, and that the person matched the suspect at the Islamic Center video. The store representative provided police with a vehicle description and transaction information on the spray paint purchase. Police determined the suspect was Enderl and arrested him Tuesday at his home. Enderl then admitted to the vandalism and did it as a joke, the complaint read. The defendant stated he doesn't hate them. He further stated he did it to get a reaction from the community and the media. This is the ultimate now extreme of racists who think that they can just scream away when they're caught red-handed. It's to a point it's similar to, as we talked about with the modified okay sign. And we've talked about this, and we talked about this with the senator that, you know, that was on the House floor flashing the modified okay sign, which is a white supremacist sign. As a matter of fact, they just had a guy on, we were just talking about Jeopardy. Some guy on there, he says he unintentionally flashed the sign, but, you know, he was trying to say it was because he went three nights in a row, but it kind of still looked like he was rooting for a certain team, per se. But, you know, the argument that the people that use the modified okay sign, and this goes back to when I first saw this back in the early 80s in rural Georgia, is they said when anyone says that, what's that? Is that a white power sign? You say, no, it's the okay sign. You are the people that are overreacting. Well, isn't this just basically taking that to the extreme? The guy vandalizes, pulls a hate crime on the mosque, tries to downplay it as, did it as a joke, which leads to the question of, what did you think was funny, you racist jackass? what joke are you trying to make here? And then when he realized, and my guess is the rest of this came from the point when he realized, well, doing it as a joke doesn't make any sense. So then he says he did it to get a reaction from the community and the media. Oh, I wanted to do this so I could set the media off. And look what I did. I wrote a swastika on a mosque and the media reported it as a hate crime. Gotcha. Gotcha. Wow. Yeah, you're a genius. I mean, it is. You got caught red-handed. You're a racist son of a bitch, and you're a horrible human being. Sorry for my rough language, but he's a horrible human being, and yet he still thinks this troglodyte, this rock with lips, still thinks he's clever and he's going to pull one over on all you people. Gotcha. No, you're just a racist piece of crap. Admola Hamid, the Islamic Center's vice president, said Wednesday afternoon, the mosque members were shaken by what happened to their house of worship. We were disturbed by such an event and act that aimed at us, Hamid said. This is the first time this has happened. We have enjoyed peaceful coexistence with our community since the past 4 years of our existence. Well, That's good news. Is the this guy's going to go to jail. It doesn't sound like their question is whether there's going to be a hate crime. You got to be filing a hate crime against this. I mean, this is kind of no duh, isn't it? There's been some question on whether or not that you can, people why in certain crimes they're not charging for hate crimes. This one is pretty much open and shut case, correct? I mean, what's the charge saying? Bias? He's been, damage, he's a felony second degree property damage, gross misdemeanor, bias, harassment. So I got to believe then the next step up is hate crime. So, I mean, charge away. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, an update on the Big Lake story from yesterday. As we wrap up hour number one, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Gary is in Minneapolis. Hey, Gary Bear.
I said, Mike, it's wonderful what he said.
Oh, yeah, he was.
What he's trying to do, you know. The Republican, because he wants to help the 99% and the poor, that's socialism. Well, then why don't they try and take away the veterans' socialized medicine, see how they get with that. And then they should take them subsidies of oil, that dirty fuel, and use it for these electric cars and electric grid to power our buildings and stuff. And he wants to fight and cut poverty in half, and he's calling out white supremacists. It's all there. It's expansion of the civil rights and the New Deal. We got to get that back as much as possible.
Well, Gary, thank you very much. I think the most important thing that he did yesterday, and I think this is very important, is he basically took the very powerful tone. We've tried the trickle-down economics. It doesn't work. As a matter of fact, this yesterday, the last 12 years, the GDP is up 49%. Corporate profit is up 56%. Wealth of the richest, 10%, is up 99%. CEO pay at big companies is up 105%. Corporate dividends issued to shareholders is up 111%. Billionaire wealth is up 215%. Stock market is up 240%. Corporate stock buybacks is up 280%. And the minimum wage has not been raised. Nope. And the question then becomes, you know, and once again, this is an argument. There's undeniable evidence that wealth has poured into the upper class. That is undeniable. And the promise we had from Republicans for 40 years was that wealth will trickle down to the rest of us. You just got to give it to them and then we'll eventually get it. And no, it just doesn't. And the reason why is at the end of the day, if the government doesn't require a minimum wage at a specific level, that businesses will not pay more than they have to. And trust me, I mean, we actually have it not that bad here in the Twin Cities. I mean, there are some movements here that are trying to get more and more minimum wage, which is good. But there are places in this country where the minimum wage is garbage. It's absolute garbage. And they have no intention of raising it. And this is one of the reasons why I have been railed against these major, fossil fuel projects in this state. Whether that's line 3, whether that's a mine, they already make exclusions for these companies to ship in a bunch of workers that are working basically minimum wage. They're coming in working minimum wage because, and what they deal is like, oh, well, if you hire a Minnesota worker, they got to pay they got to pay a fair wage. But they then get, oh, well, we get a waiver to where half our workers don't have to come from Minnesota. So they bust them on up. And they get minimum wage and told if you complain about it, you got to walk back to Oklahoma yourself or wherever they came from. It's just the government has a role to make sure that the people are protected. And Biden last night did a magnificent job. I thought a magnificent job of laying out the reality that you cannot trust Republicans anymore with their economic plans. that you should just ignore them because the reality is they've had 40 years to prove trickle-down economics works. And not only has it not worked, but because their appetite to give the wealthiest more and more money is unsurpassed by anything I've ever seen, they keep borrowing more money and driving our deficit up. That's not Democrats doing that. That's the Republicans that are doing that. And so it's time for us to basically say enough's enough. And you want to call that socialism? Fine, knock yourself out. I'll call it humanity. I'll call it being a decent freaking human being. Is saying to yourself that, you know, billionaire wealth is up 215% in 12 years and the minimum wage is not. And Republicans, the first thing they'll say, these people that claim to be Christian, the first words out of their mouth every single time will be the same thing. Well, it sucks to be you. It sucks to be you. Because the reality is they're mean-spirited people that only embrace religion when it validates their political point of view and could care less about the well-being, health, safety of the American people. And Biden last night called him out on it. That was a pretty good speech. That was actually, I was very impressed with that, especially the Republicans not being for trying to get people off of poverty wages. We'll take hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, your draft headquarters, the Matt McNeil Show. I don't know. Are we going to take a player?
Doing a mock draft. Oh, that's the one pet peeve I have with any sports reporting. It's time for my mock draft.
Because there's no accountability for how wrong
exactly,
they are.
Yes, they're never right.
They're never right. I do think it's hilarious, all the Vikings fans, because the one thing we don't need is a quarterback. We actually have a good quarterback. We need an offensive line, and we need a secondary. But all of a sudden, a guy from North Dakota? He's good. We can't have Wilker Witcher Ball. Stop it. Still better than the Green Bay Packer fans who right now are all just beside themselves because Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be there anymore. Just fantastic. 952-946-6205. Hey, for everyone else who likes to, I don't know, do normal things, because I'm sorry, I can't get excited about an NFL draft. I mean, I really can't. I will say this, it is delightful outside. It is, boy, I got Sven Sundgaard's going to join us. Of course, bringmethenews.com's weather guy. We're gonna talk about things. I am hoping. Here is my big fingers crossed moment with this surgery, okay? Fingers crossed, I will be able to get out to the Arboretum and get the cherry blossoms and the apple blossoms, because that is one of the most magnificent things you will see in any given year in this state. When was the last time you went out there?
Oh, not in quite some time, maybe even since I was a kid. Gosh. Yeah.
You go on the 3 mile trail.
Okay.
You go past the pine trees, because they have it all set up like that, because it's an arboretum. I mean, you know, here's a wide variety of pine trees. Like, it's the larch, you know, that sort of thing. And they have a massive field of flowering trees. And in spring, you get about a week. And you get out there, and it is one of the prettiest things I have ever seen. I think one of the best nature photos I ever took was about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. I took a picture of a tree out at the Arboretum. Was just spectacular. Just spectacular. So I'm hoping to catch that. I'll be up in enough, moving around enough to where I'll be able to go out and see that. Also, it's nice to see the color again, because let's face it, we appreciate in Minnesota, we do appreciate when the snow first comes in and there's a nice blanket of white. But yeah, it's just been brown and dead and moist.
It's the best way to describe it.
It's brown, dead, and moist. Oh, grandma's cooking. No. Oh, yeah. No, it's not a pretty state come spring. It really isn't. Until the tulips start coming in, and it's good. I got lilacs coming in now. I'm looking for
really?
That.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're not blossoming, but I mean, they can tell you are going to have them there. And I got roof ducks. Do you get roof ducks in your neighborhood?
No.
The ducks, they get up on our roofs.
Really? Yeah, so this is a thing, huh?
Yeah, there's roof ducks. Roof ducks. I'm walking down the street and there's like ducks on the roofs. And they're you know, they're of course they're giving me duck-tude. you know, I got, you know, again, one of those things. They're just looking at me as I walk past with my dog. But, you know, there's, we got roof ducks, and I can't believe they're not laying eggs up there. They're going to roll right off. Sorry.
Get some scrambled eggs every morning.
No. That's mean. No, but it's, they're nesting somewhere else, but they like to apparently get up on the roofs.
I wonder why. That's interesting. So they're hanging out on the roof. And they're
the roof ducks.
Whatever they're doing.
Delicious roof ducks. Yum. That's it. I'm going to guess they're up there because of coyotes. Or bear if you're in Woodbury. Heck, make room for me, duck. I'm getting up on the roof with you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll have Sven Sundgaard come on by. We'll talk a little bit of weather with him coming up here in just a little bit. I did mention, I did tease the Big Lake High School story from yesterday. Of course, when the kid that did the prom proposal that was out of line, to say the least. Outside of Big Lake High School, the Hornets Way highlights the school's core values made up by kindness and respect. However, those values aren't what's getting the attention. It's viral promposal photo putting the city of Big Lake and its high school on the map for the wrong reasons. Growing up here, it doesn't really surprise me, sadly, said Alicia Halverson, who went to Big Lake High School. The proposal poster said, "If I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you prom." Question mark. That's a product of the environment that the school produces, said Raveen Koha Jala, a 2018 graduate of Big Lake High School and a local civil rights activist. Koha Jala grew up in Big Lake and is familiar with one of the students pictured in the viral post. "These people are people who I've seen, I've interacted with. I know personally," said Koha Jala. Koha Jala, the post, according to her, was shared in a Big Lake online forum, and that forum was shut down shortly after the picture was shared. "Every time there's a racial issue, they try to sweep it under the rug, or they try, this is about learning and teaching moment," said Koha Jala. She went on to say, the worry about the white children in the picture and their future, that they don't worry about the effects of all the children of color who have to see it and have to go to school with them. And by the way, a freaking men, because that is what happens. When I first started here on this station, one of the first god-awful stories we had to deal with was with the Anoka-Hennepin County School District. And at the Anoka-Hennepin County School District, they were having a... They basically, the school district elected a bunch of, well, bigots, for lack of a better way to say it, onto the school board, whose goal was to make sure the bullied were protected, or the bulliers were protected over the bullies, that the bulliers had rights to bully the kids. And that was, I mean, and they ended up with an insane amount of dead kids in the Anoka-Hennepin County School District who were committing suicide because they were, you know, LGBTQ, and they were being bullied to death because the school board said, you can't stop the bullying because it's freedom of speech, or if they're out there telling him, you're going to burn in hell, that basically that's freedom of religion. And so they basically allowed legal bullying in Anoka-Hennepin for years under the argument of we're protecting the white kids and their freedom of speech. I mean, it just is, it was so tone deaf. And finally, it got to a point where I think that there was the lawsuits that started kind of changing how things were being done over there. They started losing money. And of course, finally, the Anoka-Hennepin County School District, the voters there started voting out the clowns. But my God, that was just an ugly situation. Well, it's not, it shouldn't be a surprise, I don't think, to anyone that in Big Lake, this is the kind of thing, is the first thing. The first, you know, rule is to make sure that the white kids who made the comment are, or that this doesn't negatively affect their lives. Well, how about the people who are minorities in the school district, especially the black community, that has to realize that you have a guy here who is making light of racism and slavery, and that your biggest concern seems to be for the white kid. This story came from Care 11. They reached out on district leaders to answers in this case, but were referred to the statement. And the statement on the events at Big Lake. This is a statement that they put out earlier today. The Big Lake School District was made aware of a proposal post on Facebook that reportedly involved students using a racial comment. The school district has taken the report very seriously and is in the process of investigating the matter. We will be evaluating it under any and all applicable school district policies and will take whatever action is necessary and appropriate to address the situation. Due to state and federal data privacy laws, the school district is prohibited from sharing more information about this matter with the public about the specifics of the incident and the students involved. Big Lake Schools does not condone racism in any form. Our school has been committed to implementing the Hornet Way as a way to develop and guide our students' characters and actions. The Hornet Way teaches the values and respect, honesty, kindness, responsibility, and fairness. Well, you guys suck at that, apparently. The Hornet Way, once again, let me repeat this, while we were talking about Big Lake. The Hornet Way teaches the values of respect, honesty, kindness, responsibility, and fairness. Apparently, I know some kids that must have failed those classes. We believe those values extend to all aspects of our school community. The school district also committed to ensuring that all students and staff are treated equally and get an attend school and report to work in a comfortable, welcoming environment. Our expectations are high, and we expect compliance by all. This is a reflection of them continually trying to make racial issues not seem like a problem, said Kohojala. A reflection to which some Big Lake parents disagree with. The fact that you're here doing this report perpetuates that fear. It perpetuates the racism, said Jerry, who has children that attend Big Lake. She went on to say, this is not a racist town. This is not a racist school. This is the heart of people that made that choice. They are, as all of us are, responsible for their own actions. Okay, first of all, I talked about this extensively yesterday. I have door knocked for political campaigns in Big Lake. You got a racism problem in that town. And my personal experience, I said this yesterday. I lived in rural Georgia. Big Lake is one of the most racist places I've ever been. I'm dead serious. Big Lake is one of the most racist places I've ever been. And I lived in rural Georgia for 2 years. They've got some problems up there, and it's because, and the feeling is, I mean, as this city gets closer to being absorbed into the metro area, and I think we can make an argument, it probably is already starting to, that you have people there that, well, are not exactly onto equity, not exactly into diversity. And I said, once again, my personal experience up there, door knocking for a political campaign in 2016, holy God. Like I said, the guy, and I talked about this yesterday, the guy basically talking, let me tell you about black people. Oh, okay. Oh, really? They have a lot of work to do, and they clearly do. And the idea that, what I like about what Kohojala is saying is, this idea of just trying to sweep this under the rug. Yeah, this looks bad. Yes, this isn't good. But hey, we don't tolerate this. Well, how do you not tolerate this? Are there going to be consequences for this action? Are you considering the white kid who made this sign as much as a victim of the minority groups that have to be subjected to this sign? You know, hornets sting. I don't know if you're aware. The Hornet Way is to sting you if you don't like you. And apparently that's what's going on. They need to work on their staff understanding racial issues and making a safe place for all students of color within the school, said Kohojala. Big Lake school leaders sent an alert to parents, teachers, and students informing them the school would be moving to distance learning Thursday and Friday because of threats as a result of the viral video. Well, threats don't help anyone, so stop that. But, if I can point out, you have a student in your school who has made this comment, if I were black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you, prom, question mark. And you don't seem to be acting in the same urgency and speed that you moved, that because one or two knuckleheads put a threat out there, you all of a sudden are to distance learning. You got this going on. We're gonna man all stations sort of thing. Well, if you had that attitude towards that photo, maybe people wouldn't be questioning what's going to happen here. You can't. One of the things I'll say about rural America is that it is white. It is very white, although many of those places definitely do need to have, the undocumented workers to go help work in, especially in the agricultural industries. They desperately need those people. But these are white people. This is a white area. And so it doesn't surprise me you guys don't know that much about racial diversity. I get that. And when I talk to Dermot Flanagan, this is the guy we talk at St. Patrick's Day, the guy in Ireland. Trust me, the difference in the cultural differences in Ireland versus here are massive. And I have to have conversations with him before he comes on the air every stinking year about, no, you can't say that. No, you can't say that. No, you can't say that. Because it's just different. If you don't have experience with something, that's fine. You can try to learn about it and probably be a better person for it. But don't sit there and act like an authority. And in this case, don't sit out there and condone clear racism. You know, and I'm not saying that the school district is condoning this. They're at least putting out the verbiage. But like I said, there are some threats against the school, and they couldn't move. They were moved at warp speed to get that school to remote learning. And I haven't heard of what they're planning on doing in regards to this. But needless to say, as this one person who is an expert in civil rights, works in civil rights, who came from that district, this seems to be the part of the pattern of just, we're really going to look into this. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do, but we're going to look into this. We'll let you know eventually and just wait for the outrage to die down. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. Marty is up on the, you can watch the show if you like. It's radio for your eyes. You can watch the live stream. It's on our Facebook page, AM 950 Radio, plus Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show. Marty, Big Lake is a suburb of Alabama. Wow. Big Lake is also Mary Kiffmeyer's district. We should remember about Mary Kiffmeyer. She was furious that Fort Snelling was going to be referred to as Bedote, the traditional Native American name for the area, even though she doesn't seem to understand that Bedote is something we already say when we say Mendota, which is a tortured version of Bedote, but the name exists, you idiot. And no, we shouldn't just put the names of the white guys put on things around. I think Bede Makoska is phenomenal. I think that's such a great name. Bedote, I think, is a great name. I have no problem in returning a lot of these places back to the traditional Native American names. But apparently Mary Kiffmeyer, we're erasing white culture or something.
Let's not forget she's also the person that thinks we're dealing with the 19th version of COVID.
Yeah, 19th nervous breakdown, isn't it there, Kiff? Is she one of the ones that wanted the Columbus statue back up too?
I'm sure.
Jeez.
I can't confirm that, but would we be shocked if she...
No, we don't know. We're seeing a pattern. If we're wrong on something, oops, but we are seeing a pattern, Mayor. Robert is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, man.
Listen, I've been listening to you for 6 months. I started listening to you. I said, this guy is totally insane. But I found out later, man, you tell the truth. You tell it straight like it is. And I tell you what, I was born in Mississippi in 1952. I marched with the civil rights workers. I marched with King. I was part of that civil rights action movement at that particular time. Now, I'm 68 years old, and this young man talking about picking cotton. My God, I was in the cotton field when I was 5 years old. He don't know about no picking cotton. You get cut up and everything. He going to use that racial remark because he doesn't know nothing about it.
Well,
but I tell you what. I tell you what. One thing about Minnesota, there's a website called There's Something Right in Minnesota. Have you heard of that website?
I know of it. I know of what you're referring to because, let's face it, there's a lot of racism here. First of all, Robert, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. You thought I was insane and you realize I'm spot on. I appreciate that. The reality is that if you don't open your eyes and realize the world that we are living in right now and the injustices that are going on out there, this is not about giving someone more and extra. This is about making things right. And just because some people are treated equally doesn't mean you're losing anything. That just your ability to create bigoted memes in your own damn head. How about I say it like that? So I believe we should just treat people with respect, and that's that. So quickly, I want to get to this story really quick. Governor Walz held what he called a bipartisan news conference on Thursday with Democrat leaders in the legislature and one Republican lawmaker to pressure Senate Republicans to hold hearings on police accountability and take open legislation already passed by the House. We have promised hearings and they didn't happen, Walz said, referring to a statement from Senate Majority Leader Paul Midnight Oil Gazelka. Gazelka, state government's top elected Republican last week, said those discussions could happen as part of his conference negotiations behind closed doors, which DFL decried is not good enough, in part because it would prevent most Black, Native, and Latino legislators from participating. Conference committees are a small group of lawmakers from both chambers who meet to iron out differences in legislation. He's supposed to have a news conference this afternoon. I haven't heard what he had to say. Walz says after the jury found Chauvin guilty of murder that he would burn his political capital on passing public safety legislation following the high-profile killings of Black men, George Floyd in Minneapolis and Dante Wright near Brooklyn Center. Walz faces pressure from the progressive wing of his party for Operation Safety Net. The coalition of law enforcement agencies assembled for the Chauvin trial used aggressive tactics to suppress protesters in Brooklyn Center following Wright's killing. A handful of progressives voted against the budget bill Tuesday to pay for some of the security costs, decrying its lack of police accountability measures. The DFL-controlled Minnesota House passed a public safety budget bill without Republican support early this month that included several new police accountability police provisions. We should remind you that in the Republican version in the Senate, we brought this up. They had the chance to say that people who are part of white supremacist organizations, you know, the Nazis, the KKK, could not be police officers, and every Republican voted down that amendment. Every single one of them. There was a lot of things in that bill that were, that are good. The Tim Miller, DFL leaders commended Representative Tim Miller, Republican from Prinzburg, for his courage across the aisle. Miller said his perspective on public safety changed after hearing Valerie Castile, the mother of Philando Castile, the Black man who was shot during a traffic stop in 2016, testify before a legislative committee. She said, "I don't understand how a Christian person can listen to what's going on and not do something." Miller said, "Wow, am I about to praise Tim Miller? I am about to praise Tim Miller. Well done, Tim Miller. It's good to see you come around on this. And I'm glad, it's unfortunate that we have to have a tragedy and the testimony about that tragedy for it to come across. But that's the reason why you have people come out there is to try to change minds. And it looks like that's what happened with Tim Miller. But God checked my spirit and said, you need to listen to what she's saying. And that had a real big impact on me, Miller said. So good for you. There's no way Gazelka does not want anything to do with this because his entire governor's run next year is going to be cops. And we're going to stop those people in Minneapolis. That's going to be his entire campaign. Predictable. When we do return, Sven Sundgaard will join us. BringMeTheNews.com's weather guy extraordinaire. We'll talk about weather and a few other things as well. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Everybody get up.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us. BringMeTheNews.com. Of course, he also has a great YouTube page you should be following there. We'll talk some weather with Sven today. Hi, Sven. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So a few weeks ago, you and I talked about owlets, baby owls.
Yes.
And you said that they sometimes fall out of the tree.
A lot of times, actually.
I'm out at Silver Lake Park, just north of, was it St. Anthony? Is that just north of the metro? Mm-hmm. And I'm up there, and on one of the trails, they have got a tree with two owlets who are fairly large. I sat there and watched for about 20 minutes. Neither one of them came clunking down to earth, though. But they are pretty big. It's pretty cool to see. They're big and white.
They got like big goggly eyes that kind of, yes. they do look awkward.
Awkward. So if they fall out of the tree, I mean, these things were up, I'm going to guess, 50 feet high. Yeah. If they fall out of the tree, is that it for them, or is there a way for them to get back up?
No, they don't. They can't get back up. They're pretty resilient, though. But you should talk to them at the Raptor Center, because it's actually fascinating. I've done several stories, so that's how I know what I know. But if you do find one, you're supposed to keep an eye on it. This goes with any bird. So like a lot of times people see a baby robin and think, oh no, it fell out of its nest. I need to take it to the Wildlife Rehab Center. And usually you don't, because this is how a lot of birds fledge. Now, in the case of the baby owls, it's not. But it's the time of year where it's a good reminder that if you see a young robin hopping around, it probably be okay. Keep an eye on it, and you'll probably see its mom or dad come by and bring it worms and stuff, and they'll guard it. You know, it's in that, it's a very narrow 24-hour window where they don't quite have their wings just yet. Mm-hmm. And they will, but the parents are fierce. We've all been dive bombed from, you know, mama robins. They can be pretty fierce. So, and they'll help hide them and stuff at night and that kind of thing. But yeah, the baby owls, if you do see one, watch it for a while and see if a parent comes by. And if they don't, you should take it to the Raptor Center or call the Wildlife Rehab Center, and they can help direct it to the Raptor Center or one of those things, because they're pretty resilient. They can actually handle that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they heal up just like, you know, baby anything heals quicker. But yeah, it's, the problem is like great horned owls, they don't make their own nests. They borrow things like squirrel nests, which are just a big pile of junk, and they're not stable. And so as the owls get bigger, or you have a windy day or a stormy day, they can fall out.
Okay. So how did owls get the impression they're intelligent? That's one. But two, okay. So I'd be a little concerned. Robins are one thing. Owls, I mean, that's starting to get up into that bears and Woodbury sort of, I don't want to mess with that, because, I mean, an owl would do some damage if it got mad at you.
I don't know that the adult owls will try to attack you. I'm not sure. I've never myself found a baby owl, so that's a good question. And they're generally nocturnal, so I don't know.
Well, there's another.
Oh yeah, they have talons. And stuff,
and they're pretty quiet, and they're large, and so I think I was like, maybe I'll just call DNR. I'll have them come on out themselves. You have another.
That's always a good thing. Or call the Wildlife Rehab Center. They're great, and they'll give you on the spot medical advice. Usually, they'll either say, "No, it's fine, leave it," or "Keep an eye on it," or, "Oh, that doesn't sound good. Try to get in a box right away and bring it here." So they're great. They're a great resource we have in the Twin Cities.
You have another bird story. This is out of Wisconsin. It's kind of hard to believe. What happened to the loons in Wisconsin? Okay, that's a loaded, that's a loaded question. What happened to the common loon birds in Wisconsin?
That's a recall election. Wait. there were literally loons dropping out of the sky in northern Wisconsin. I think this was last week. If you go to my Facebook page, I posted a link to this article. The Milwaukee Sentinel did the story. And yeah, it was, you know, just like how we get de-iced in the winter flying in a plane. Well, evidently birds, especially loons and other birds that fly pretty high to avoid predators and will fly at night, you know, during migration times, you know, a lot of birds will fly at night in order to avoid things like hawks and eagles, because they're predatory, you know, they eat a lot of other birds. And it was cold enough and moist enough where the loons were flying, where their wings got iced and they fell out of the sky. and people were finding loons like scattered around in northern Wisconsin in fields and things. And, and loons, if you don't know, they're great swimmers and they're great flyers, but they cannot walk. You know, they're not designed for it. So like, unlike ducks that we're more familiar with, or geese, you know, we see them highly mobile on land. Loons are not. They don't have functional feet, really. So if they get stranded like that, it can be a problem. And the other thing that I was reading there too is, which I didn't know, is a loon needs like a quarter or a half of a mile of open water in order to take off. So they're like, you know, well, you're the pilot, with like some big gigantic cargo plane almost. They need a long runway for takeoff, which I didn't quite realize, but I guess it makes sense anytime I've seen a loon do that. So yeah, if they get stuck in a small pond, like they were, like what was happening, or in a field, they're in deep trouble, you know, and susceptible to predators. So people were telling them in northern Wisconsin, definitely if you see these, bring them in. And not only if you see them, they're actively telling landowners, please search your property for them and bring them into different rehab centers. But I was surprised them too. A lot of them were in okay shape. You know, they had like a broken wing or something, and they, or sort of obviously dazed and confused, and but they could patch them up. I thought, gosh, if you, so they must have not been completely dive bombing out of the air, but you know, more like a plane with its wings are iced up, you're just not going to fly well and descend. But yeah, and that's another, could be another climate change angle, because loons and everything were moving north earlier because it was so absurdly warm.
Yes.
And in particular with them, it was so warm so early that it knocked ice out of lakes way earlier than scheduled, you know, 2 to 3 weeks early for some lakes.
Oh, yeah.
So you think a lot of those birds, oh, okay, because what they really need is open water. Once the lakes are open, a loon doesn't care what the temperature is. They just need fish. But if they're just timed at the wrong time, where they're migrating like that, and all of a sudden, boom, you know we're still going to get cold weather in mid-April, just no matter what, especially in a place like northern Wisconsin, and they're just at the wrong time, wrong place, you know. And again, species have evolved to handle our climate, but not these extremes that can, you know, really knock them off course. You know, like monarch butterflies, it might be really warm spring and they move north, and then all of a sudden they get froze out. Well, then you lose a whole generation of insects. So
yeah, watch out for the loons scattered across northern Wisconsin, people.
Yeah, if you ever see a loon on land, call a rehab center. Well, but they do say too, you'd be careful. Those beaks are spears. So.
Well, and they'll be a little upset with Aaron Rodgers wanting to leave the Packers now. Okay. Yeah. So well, and that's, I will,
another story.
Yeah, and I will say this: you brought up the water being out early. Vermilion, that is a lake. I mean, that's a good sized lake.
Oh yeah.
Most of the time, my family's from, you know, Virginia area up that way. Vermilion's a lake that usually doesn't ice out until May, and they were iced out, what, a week and a half ago?
Yeah, no, that's a lake where I, you know, just working in Duluth a couple years, in addition to keeping track of ice outs, that's a lake where it seems like, you know, 1 in 4 years, it's coming right up to the fishing opener, and they don't know if they're trying to guess which areas are open enough to fish in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is extraordinarily early, but you know, one thing that did help us is this cold weather we had the last few weeks, because everything was just blowing up so early. It kind of acted as like, you know, slamming on the brakes for that, because if leaves and things on trees had been as open as they are now, even a week or two ago, a lot of leaves would have been damaged.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we were looking at a warm up earlier this week, looking back at your weather forecast. There was a hope that that warm front was going to break through on the Minnesota-Iowa border, come up. It never did. Is that cold air that we had in place, it just held on really for a day or two longer than we were thinking, right?
Yeah, it's just the track of the system that came through that brought us the rain eventually Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, and we last spoke last Thursday, it looked like we'd be in the 70s Monday, and then 80s in southern Minnesota. And that setup was there. It was just about 70 miles further south. Mm-hmm. So it was oh so close. Yeah, I was posting updates all day because Omaha was in the 90s. Several places in Iowa hit 90 that day. It was really warm, and 70s is close as Albert Lea, not that far to the south. But yeah, we were mostly stuck in the 40s and 50s here. Just that the track of that low just was just enough south, and with a crazy temperature gradient like that, you know, that 70 miles made a big difference. But now we're getting in on it.
Yes, we are.
It's our turn.
Lovely out there right now. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Brett earlier. It's like the flowers are really starting, even though I know exactly what you're talking about with the cold came in and kind of slowed things down to the right temperature, to where the things develop better. And now all the flowers are coming in. It's actually starting to look really nice here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, the last 48 hours, you can see a difference in the trees. I know running around the lakes every day, I could see a difference in the green hue. I mean, they're literally just waiting for, like, please, can we have 2-3 consecutive sunny days? You know, because leaves are solar panels. They don't want to come out if there's no sun around. So, and we just, you know, we've had a sunny day here or there in the last few weeks, but nothing like this that we're finally in. So, yeah, 67 so far today. Tomorrow might be a few degrees cooler, but still mostly sunny. And because today actually is slightly above normal and tomorrow might be right near the target of normal, believe it or not, despite 3 of 4 weeks of April being cooler than normal, it's going to end up slightly above normal still, less than half a degree. But that tells you just how warm that first week of April was, so ridiculously warm that we could have 3 cooler than normal weeks and still come out awash, basically.
Well, and it was amazing, and something that you've talked about as well. On the first sunny day we had, I leave the station here at 6, and I mean, it was sunny out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much higher in the sun the sun is, because the sky the sun is. Yeah, we hadn't seen it. And it just, and you can feel how bright that sun is at this point. It wants to warm things up now.
Yeah, no, the sun right now is as strong as it is in the first half of August. So that's another reminder, too. I know today seeing people, you know, walking around or running around with their shirts off for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to go up and be like, yeah, be careful. I hope it's not a long run, because we're all pretty pasty at this point in the season. And that sun is very misleading. Because the temperature's not hot yet, you know, but it doesn't matter the temperatures. The sun angle's the same.
Well, I got to admit, I'm happier we're here with this right now than I saw the story out of Oklahoma and Texas. I have no idea the size of the hail that hit those houses, but there are holes punched through walls that look like it's at least a softball size. I can't even comprehend a hail getting that big and then coming at the house hard enough to where it can knock a hole through the wall.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see some of these chunks of ice, and you got to remember they're falling from thousands of feet up, too. Little thing called gravity makes those things accelerate, you know. And the new world record actually for hail was just broke not that long ago. I think maybe 5 years ago in South Dakota, beat the old record, which was in Kansas. And it was over, I don't remember the exact circumference, but it was bigger than a basketball. I mean, that's stuff that kills cattle and
kills a human.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that.
Dear Lord. The storms, I mean, you had also talked the last time on some of your weather forecasts. And once again, if you're not watching Sven's weather forecast, bringmethenews.com as well as also the YouTube channel. You can catch them. He updates them regularly through the week. Now we are making the turn. It has been deceptively a little cooler, but now we are getting into May, and May is a stormy month here in Minnesota. We should start seeing some of these storms come through, correct?
Yeah, May, June is the peak of our severe weather season because, you know, things are heating up. As we just talked about, the sun's strong. We know that hot, humid air can get here very quickly. You know, the fact that it went from the Gulf of Mexico to Iowa in about a day. But we still have remnant cold air still. So, yeah, it is just the perfect setup. Not really seeing much in the way of severe weather for us in the near term just yet, which is good news. I know a lot of people are like, can we please just warm up and have a couple days without going right into that? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get to pick our weather around here, obviously. But, yeah, it looks like we're going to be in the 80s Saturday for our second time this season. Remember, we did hit it once back in the first week of April.
That's right.
But it looks like we see a cool down without severe weather. The setup for late Sunday into Monday, there could be some thunder, but the dew points don't quite get here. And that's the one key component you need. In addition to the dynamics of changing wind speeds and things aloft, you do need those higher dew points, at least in the 50s this time of year. And it doesn't really get past the Minnesota-Iowa border. So that's some good news. We'll get some rain which is always good for the gardens and everything and all the plants that are taken off right now, but probably without the severe weather. It looks like thunder will be mainly confined to Iowa and southeastern Minnesota.
A question I brought, we were talking about this earlier on the show as well, because we've had kind of an odd spring so far. One of my favorite things every year is going to the Arboretum and seeing the flowering trees. Do you have, I know you're not necessarily a botanist per se, but do you have any idea how the weather, the slowdown when the cooler weather came, will we see a normal development at this point? Should we look at mid-May or do you think it might be earlier or later? Any idea?
I think, you know, so my brother, I'm not a botanist, that's correct, but my brother actually works at Carpenter Nature Center and runs the orchard there. So, and I asked him this question, you know, when we had those last, you know, it was in the 20s, what, just a week ago?
Yeah.
A couple mornings. And I said, is this going to affect? He's like, no, the buds are still mostly closed. It's when the buds are open or even halfway open and it gets that cold that it can be a problem. So at least apples, and they're more delicate than our native tree species, of course, should be okay. And probably ahead of schedule, just like everything else is. So it's these next couple weeks are critical that we don't get below 30 degrees, which, you know, there are some years where it that happens still in the first half of May. But if we can get past the next week or two, and I don't see 20s at all or even frost. I think we've had our last frost and we're headed for, once again, one of these ridiculous 5-month growing seasons that have become the normal around here.
I have hooked up my hose. I'm taking the risk on that.
I think you're good.
So today we're in the 60s. Tomorrow, a little cooler. You're saying 80 on Saturday?
At least. It's very possible we could be in the mid-80s. We've got some very warm air moving in. Air that in June or July could equate to 90 degrees. So if it's sunny enough all day Saturday, which increasingly is looking likely, a couple days ago it looked like we might have enough clouds to keep us from maxing out on the temperature. But now it's a matter of timing out the first cool front and keeping it sunny enough, we could be in the mid-80s on Saturday pretty easily.
Right. And Sunday, is that looking, is it going to be as warm or not?
Still warm, still in the 70s, but it is going to be cloudier, and we are going to look for some showers and thunderstorms later in the day into maybe lingering into Monday. And next week will be not 70s, mostly probably 60s for us, so we'll be a little bit cooler. But keep in mind, the normal high is still in the 60s.
Right.
Normal high doesn't hit 70 until about the 9th or 10th of May.
Sven Sundgaard, once again, bringmethenews.com, the YouTube page, follow him on Facebook as well. Sven, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, okay?
You betcha. Enjoy that warm sunshine.
All righty. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the show. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I actually feel a little ripped off. I didn't see an owlet fall out of the tree. Waited for 20 minutes, didn't see one of them. They look like they're about to. They always look like they're about to fall out of a tree. That is a weird bird. How about loons? They can't walk on ground. I did not know that.
What was this he was saying too about their wings freezing if they fly too high? That's crazy too.
Well, because it's too early, because they're coming up because of the weather, you know, and then they're getting too cold. So I did want to make sure I mention. Let me scroll through my briefs here. This is the story about the Justice Department. Justice Department officials had spent months gathering evidence to indict the ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin on federal police brutality charges, but they feared the publicity frenzy could disrupt the state's case. So they came up with a contingency plan. If Chauvin was to be found not guilty on all counts or the case ended up in a mistrial, they would arrest him at the courthouse, according to sources familiar with the planning discussions. And the backup plan would not be necessary. On April 20th, the jury found Chauvin guilty on all three murder and manslaughter counts, sending him to the state's most secure lockdown facility to await sentencing to avoid the riots that many feared would engulf the city once again. Now with Chauvin's state trial out of the way, federal prosecutors are moving forward with their case. They plan to ask a grand jury to indict Chauvin, the other three ex-officers involved, on charges of civil rights violations. If the grand jury voted to indict, the former officers would face a new civil rights charge on top of the state's cases, meaning all four could be headed toward yet another criminal trial, but this time in federal court.
The backup arrest strategy and meticulous planning over the timing of the charges illustrates the complication and synchronicity of the two parallel investigations into the most high-profile case in police brutality in decades. Over the better part of the last year, a special prosecutor, Keith Ellison's team, pursued murder and manslaughter charges. Federal authorities had been mounting their own case in private before the grand jury. So, yeah, these guys are going to go away for a long, long time, which is so long. I'm going to wonder how long it is the other three officers. They've got to be looking for plea deals at this point. I got to believe they don't want to go through this any further than they already had to. So once again, I am going to be taking some time off here. When I do return, I will be doing remote. Will be Matt McNeil on location in my basement. I can't do it outside. I'd like to if it's a nice day.
You got
to
come up with a better location, like I'm doing it from somewhere in Europe or, I don't know, or doing it from my cabin on the Iron Range. Yeah.
Hey, I stopped watching Netflix long enough to do this show. Here you go. It's going to be the case.
Nope, just going to be your basement.
It is. Yeah. It's a comfy basement.
Yeah. Got a comfy basement. Why not?
I don't know if I could do it on the iPad. If I can do it on the iPad, maybe I will. I'll be hobbling everywhere though. You know, it's not going to be going too far. I'm at my neighbor's house now. You know, I don't think that really gives us bang for the buck. Anyway, thanks to all the people who are going to be filling in over the next week for me on the show. Like I said, I'll be back. Thanks to all the people that are well wishes. I'm hoping this goes well. It is a little bit of a concern when you look at the Home Depot surgical center that I have to go to get this done on my hip. But I shall be back. You have a fantastic next week. To take us out this week, it's the Georgia Satellites, right?
Indeed.
The hippie shake. Have a good one. We're back in a while. Until then, see ya.